community. So you have these agents creating their own communities, even though they're being uprooted from their homes in different parts of Ventura County. And they have also entertainment. And one of the individuals that was very important to all this in terms of Cesar Chavez's emergence was Fred Ross. Fred Ross, during the 1930s, worked for the Farm Security Administration. He worked in the Wheat Patch farm worker camp in the San Joaquin Valley by Bakersfield. He saw how the growers really worked against the interests of the farm workers. So he would, after the Great Depression, will work for what is known as the CSO. And the CSO would actually recruit Cesar Chavez to work, be an organizer. And Fred Ross writes a book, anytime if you want to read a really good book about Ventura County, specifically in Oxnard, and the labor movement, and Cesar Chavez's origins, you should read Fred Ross's Conquering Goliath. Goliath being the agricultural industry here in Ventura County. They had control of all the major they probably still do, I shouldn't think it's going to pass then. They had control, at least at this time, had control of all the major institutions. School boards, for example, sheriff's departments, the courts, for example, churches, newspapers. So anytime there was a threat to the interests of agriculture, all these institutions came into line and created a Goliath, hence the title, Conquering Goliath. Because Cesar Chavez challenged Goliath, you know, being David, and was able to win and beat the power of this large industry that existed. And Fred Ross will emerge out of the CSO, which was part of Solominski. And I can tell the story. When I was in Santa in Orange County, I went to Santa Ana, and they had Teatro Campesino, which is a Mexican-American theater group. They had a great show, and afterwards there were some United Farm Worker veterans there. And they all got in a circle, they started clapping, doing the Chicano clap. Those of you who have been in Mecha, you know what the Chicano clap's all about. And they started doing their vivas. They said, Viva Cesar Chavez, que viva! Right? Que viva Dolores Huerta, que viva! Que viva Emiliano Zapata, que viva! And the next one, que viva Solominski! Solominski, yeah? Who's the Solominski guy, yeah? Well, many of the United Farm Worker veterans, they were trained by Fred Ross, who also was part of the Solominski's Industrial Areas Foundation. It was an organization that went into communities and empowered disenfranchised people, poor people. And they showed them how to take on the system, how to go to, for example, city council meetings, and how to leverage their strength. One example was, if you go to a city council meeting threatening that your organization is going to have a chili cook-off before they go to the meeting. Yeah, they're going to raise a stink, literally, right? those were the sort of tactics they would use, grassroots tactics in which to empower the community. And Solominski had this philosophy that you send organizers, but they're not permanent. They're just there for a little while. Like Cesar Chavez went to Oxnard with the CSO, stayed there 2 years, and was out. Why? Because he didn't want them to become dependent on one person. He wanted the community to develop their own leadership and have self-determination in terms of their own lives. And another book, if you're interested in reading about Cesar Chavez and Oxnard in particular, there are segments within it by Jock Levy, titled Cesar Chavez, the Autobiography of not of Cesar Chavez, but of La Causa, of the Cause. And so he comes to Oxnard with his wife in 1958 as part of the CSO to organize. There's Helen Chavez, his wife. And one thing I want to say about Helen Chavez is that she was instrumental in the farm worker movement because they had about five or six kids. And she's the one that that raised the kids. She's not only that fed the kids, but she's also provided for the family while Cesar Chavez was organizing. She was out in the field working, bringing in the income while Cesar Chavez was out organizing people, having his house meetings. And you see this image here in Oxnard in 1958 in the CSO registering people in 1958. And they were organizing for particularly the congressional district. Charles Teague was the incumbent, Republican incumbent. And they had a Democratic candidate in which was more progressive and was reflecting more of the interests of the Mexican community in Oxnard. And what Cesar Chavez did was to not only have voter registration, but also had citizenship classes. This is in 1958, had citizenship classes in the school in La Colonia, Juanita School, now it's called Cesar Chavez School. And they had 300 students. They had waiting lists for people to have their citizenship and then vote. In La Colonia, in 1958, there were 400 registered voters. By 1958, there were 1,028 registered voters. And almost 90% of them voted in that election. And that's the same place, but a different structure there. I put that up to highlight the importance of the House meeting. Because this organization was really grassroots. Let me just read a quote that he states in Jacques Levy's books. The first thing I did was start house meetings. Then we started voter registration drives. Because the November election was coming up and there was a good Democrat running against their congressman, the congressman Charles Teague. I began to sign up people for citizenship classes and opened a little office about the third day I was there to service the people. And to service the people was also an organizing tool to also get people to be involved not only in the CSO but later in the union. You provide services to the people, they feel indebted to the organization, then they will also serve you. And what he learned from these house meetings, that it wasn't the voting, it wasn't the discrimination, it wasn't the police brutality that they were experiencing. The number one issue was the use of bracero workers in 1958. Braceros were part of a federal program instituted in 1943 by the United States government to bring Mexican workers as it was involved in the war against Japan and also Nazi Germany, with the idea being that there was a labor shortage for agriculture. But this, after the war ended in 1945, the settlement program continued because the industry needed a vast surplus labor supply to depress wages. And braceros were being subsidized by the federal government to growers. The government was subsidizing the labor for growers. At the same time, this program was displacing domestic workers. Mexican immigrants were displacing Mexican-American agricultural workers. This became a very important issue, and Cesar Chavez recognized this was the organizing moment of the CSO. And there's a CSO office in which he will create his movement, his detail there. And they were successful in beating Ventura County Labor Association. It was basically an arm of the Ventura County Agricultural Association. And he would get wind that this organization was becoming very politically uncomfortable for growers. And one of the Labor Department employees, who I figured out who this person was and I was able to interview him, read up this quote. It was said to him, this is Cesar Chavez. After several days, one of the men in the Bureau of Employment Security called me to his room about midnight. And he said, "Caesar, I am with you. I think what you are doing is a damn good thing. I want to help you. Then he said, look, I've got 18 years in the service. If they find out what I'm doing, I'm going to lose my job. It's up to you. If I can trust you, I'll tell you something. Cesar Chavez says, I said, sure. In fact, I never mentioned his name. He told me, you know, these people don't want any investigations. They don't want anything public because this thing is a time bomb. They don't want any publicity on it. And you've got everything, everybody shook up. I didn't realize, this is Cesar, I didn't realize the magnitude of the situation, so I thanked them. I thought, if they don't want any publicity, fine. I knew what to do. The following morning, we marched. About 60 or 70 of us, that's when we discovered the power of the march. We started with a couple of hundred people in La Colonia, and by the time we got through, we must have had 10,000 people. Everybody was on it. Among Mexicans, a march has very special attraction. Power does not want publicity. And you see that from the experience in Oxnard, Cesar Chavez will take the power of the march and use it in Delano. And just a couple of days ago, March 25th, was the one-year anniversary of the march in Los Angeles. Marches are powerful and they're empowering. And I guess this is part of the legacy that we learned from the farm worker movement, that people began to speak for themselves. They began to advocate for themselves. They began to self-determine for themselves. And this history has to be told. And you have, as a result of the conquering of the Goliath in Ventura County in 1959, you have the birth of the United Farm Workers in 1965. You have an image here of Dolores Huerta and the strike, as she's saying there. And you have Cesar Chavez here in Oxnard. There's our state's superintendent of schools, Jack O'Connor, in Oxnard, marching with Cesar Chavez. And you have the stamp now, a federal, U.S. stamp, that has now been institutionalized. And this is the person I want to pay homage to, is Jack Nava. Jack Nava was passed away a couple years ago, but he almost single-handedly collected 65,000 signatures to have the U.S. Postal Service adopt the stamp of Cesar Chavez. So, and there's a representation of Jack and Cesar. So the legacy is still alive, and the history is, still needs to be told. And I just want to thank Amanda Quintero and Pilar Pacheco for giving me the opportunity to participate in this week-long celebration of the life of Cesar Chavez. Thank you. Because he had family roots in Delano. And that was part of the community and the networking that was important to the movement, was to have family close by. Because remember, he had six kids. And Helen Chavez's family was in Delano. And also there was an agricultural need in terms of labor for a union there. So that's why he left Delano. The question was, why did he leave Delano?
Why did he leave Oxnard?
Yeah, because his family was, he had more family in Delano. Any other questions?
Why him?
Why him what?
What events in his life made him the person he was that he did these things?
I think there are...
Is there some major event in his life that created his personality?
Yes, that's a good question. That's the question, why Cesar Chavez? Why him? That's an excellent question. Well, he had a determination for a farm workers' movement, for a union. He coming from a farm working family, he knew of the oppression that farm workers experienced, and he was very focused. He said, "People criticize me for being a fanatic." This is what he says as he's being interviewed. And he says, yes, I am a fanatic. I'm a fanatic about justice. I'm a fanatic for bringing housing. I'm a fanatic for equal, for a just wage for people. I'm a fanatic about education. And no matter what you want to do in life and do well, whether it be an educator, whether it be a lawyer, if you want to do something well, you've got to be very focused and you have to be, to a certain extent, be fanatical about it, right? And so to answer your question, why him? Because he was fanatical about his calling to be a union organizer. And we have to really appreciate, there's a saying, you know, si se puede, it can't be done. You know, somehow when you use phrases, they kind of lose their power, but si se puede really has a power. Si se puede, it can be done in light of the light, right? Chances are you're going to lose, but chances are if we try and we're fanatical and we're focused, we can win. Does that answer your question?
No. Did he ever reflect on people in his life who were instrumental in his creating?
Sure. One was Fred Ross, who was instrumental in recruiting him. Fred Ross was looking for Cesar Chavez in San Jose. And Cesar Chavez was hiding from him. He didn't want to meet with Fred Ross because he thought Fred Ross was another anthropologist from Stanford and Berkeley. So these guys, they want to know why we eat tortillas. That's all they want to know. And then they take off and do their studies, and they don't help us out. And actually, there's this moment where, okay, he meets with them. He has his friends, and they buy him beer. He buys his friends beers, okay. And he says to them, when I switch my cigarette from my left hand to my right hand, we're going to really let him have it. And we're going to run him out of this house and tell him who he is, right? And Fred Ross started telling them about the CSO. The CSO is to combat police brutality. The CSO is to fight discrimination in housing, discrimination in segregation. And Caesar never switched his cigarette. And Fred Ross convinced them that labor organizing, community organizing was what he was called to do. And there would be other individuals like Ernesto Galarza, who was a labor organizer that was an example for Cesar Chavez, who actually had his own union for farm workers. So,
basically, here in the United States, when I was like 16 and I grew up in Oxnard, that I just found out that Colonia used to be like Cesar Chavez. To stay there. Why is that now? Well, like, when I was growing up as a high school student, why is that Colonia now? Serious type is a high crime place where like old gangsters over there that want us outside of the stuff.
What was the last part of your question?
The question is why is that now Colonia is like, back then like you're from that, you're not a like Mexican or something, you're not allowed to go to that area. Why is that? I mean, how come they're like trying to put the outside, segregate the outside, like minority like us, go there?
Well, actually, what happened, there's a long history to this, why La Colonia's were predominantly Mexican community, but it also had, up until recently, it was also a place where Asian immigrants lived, and Asian American families lived, and also African Americans, because that was the only place they could live. Outside of La Colonia, up until 1968, and even then it was repealed in 1968, the Run for Fair Lousing Law, which eliminated the use of restrictive real estate covenants, meaning you couldn't buy a home because in the deed of property outside La Colonia said you cannot sell this house to Mexicans. You cannot sell this house to the word back then was Negroes. You couldn't sell this house to Mongolians. So there, institutionally, systematically, people were segregated into certain communities. And so you see La Colonia today as being a legacy of that. And you have certain dynamics emerge from this sort of discrimination, like light gangs, which results from largely immigrant groups because the children are really destabilized having immigrant parents, but also living in a foreign country. So you have a lot of different issues feeding into certain phenomena.
Well, the
union movement, now we're getting into the present, which is kind of out of my area, but basically from my readings, and maybe others can help, it's pretty weak right now.
the agricultural union movement is pretty weak. Why? Because the industry is even stronger than it was back in the 1950s. And it's a more low-level repression. One of those political figures, I won't mention his name because he's still in office, but he told me in the 1970s, when Cesar Chavez was organizing in Oxnard, and you had picketers outside certain fields, the Ventura County Sheriff's Department came in their helicopters to harass them and came really low on those protesters, basically trying to harass them from practicing the constitutional right to protest. So again, the issue of integration. We have the political and the cultural and the social institutions really manifesting their power against weaker groups in terms of politics, culture, society. So today, the housing is still is deplorable. I mean, all you have to do is go into certain pockets in Ventura County. You see very poor, substandard, deplorable housing. So it's not much different in many respects. Thank you very much. We have an event tomorrow night recognizing the determination of Barbara and the families at 6:30 here at Malibu 100. 6:30 Malibu 100.